You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Green Bay Packers opened the 2021 season by traveling well over 1,000 miles to Jacksonville, Florida, to lay an egg against the New Orleans Saints. A very similar scenario unfolded in Sunday's 2022 season opener, but hey, at least they didn't have to travel so far this time. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's, what an absolute comedy of unforced errors that was, 23-7 season opening loss to the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday afternoon at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Yep, America's game of the week. You're welcome, America. Sign the Green Bay Packers. Boy, what a stinker. Here's a fun fact. This is from the Twitter account of my good friend Ben Gessling, who covers the Vikings for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. Oh, hurt my foot, dropped a name there. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can find him at Ben Gessling. He tweeted after the game, "This will be the first game Aaron Rodgers has ever started against the Vikings where the Packers failed to score 10 points. The only time the Packers had fewer points with Rodgers on the roster was the Vikings' 2017 shutout with Brett Hundley at quarterback." Good stuff. The hated Minnesota Vikings. God, they just absolutely sicken me. Hey, nice of the Packers to give them their Super Bowl win in your, for the year in week one, hey? I'm sure they've already got the parade planned for downtown Minneapolis sometime later this week, so hey, keep an eye out for that, whatever. Man, I'm telling you, I lived there for a little over 5 years. I just know how all the Vikings fans are going to be this week. And even though I'm not there anymore, it just, God, it just infuriates me, you know? It just, oh, I hate it. I hate them. Anywho, with the loss, the Packers are, of course, 0-1 on the season now. They're joined at the bottom of the NFC North by the Detroit Lions, who dropped a 38-35 decision to the Philadelphia Eagles at home. And the Vikings, with the win, are tied for first in the North with the Chicago Bears. God, why am I doing this? The Bears beat the San Francisco 49ers, of course, at home 19-10. I'm sure Bears fans will be just as obnoxious as Vikings fans this upcoming week. Oh, the North is ours this year. Pack sure looks vulnerable, don't they? Whatever. There you go. There's your fun. There's your one fun week for the season. Enjoy it, you guys. Before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. So far, my plan of not tweeting as much during the games, not working out so great. I just tweet too much. I just kind of can't help myself. Gonna try to dial back. So far, I am 0-1 on that. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment if it's positive, huh? Maybe, huh? What do you say? You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. Hope Vince wasn't watching today, because I'm sure he was sick to his stomach. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there. And I say this all the time. If you listen on a platform that I don't mention, I know there are some, I don't know all of them, let me know. I'd love to hear it. Love to hear from you on that. And again, just subscribe. Hey, just mash down mindlessly on the subscribe button, then we deliver the shit right to your phone. It's there. You're gonna wake up Monday morning. God, I'm just sick over that loss. What does Lemps have to say about it? You don't have to search. I'm right there. I'm on your phone. And whatever's on your phone, I'm not going to tell anybody. That goes for everybody at Packers Talk. We don't tell anybody what's on your phone. Our lips, sealed. And of course, I have to give a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. Looking for Packers tickets? Head to theticketking.com. They'll take care of you. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's did this. Let's dive right in because I can't put it off any longer. Let's talk about this Packers. Ugh. It's only week one, but it's the goddamn Vikings, so you still got to get that sigh in there, right? You got to go, damn it. As mentioned in the opening, just a complete shit show of errors by the Packers in this one. And in the end, that's what buried them. Unforced errors, too. Really, all of them were unforced, I'd say. I mean, I thought the Vikings played well, I guess. They turned in a solid performance. But no, I didn't think they did anything particularly special. You know, the Packers just kept hitting the damn ball into the net. They kept serving long. Their serves were out. To use yet another tennis analogy. How are these tennis analogies playing for you? Player mistakes, coaching miscues, both in terms of lineups and play calling. I mean, everyone and everything is responsible for this disaster. You know, and the energy and the effort, especially in that first half, oh, it was just atrocious, wasn't it? Really, it was totally lacking. Even head coach Matt LaFleur said as much in his interview with Aaron Andrews coming out of the half. You know, he called his team out. How could he not? It was just awful. I appreciate LaFleur for not sugarcoating that, you know, and being honest with us. Now, having said that, I have no idea how he and his staff could allow this to happen. Considering how many times I heard someone, be it a player or a coach, say during training camp this summer, oh, no, no, no. We are not coming out of the gates against Minnesota the way we did in Jacksonville last year against New Orleans. Nope, no way, no way, no how. Ain't happening this time, Jack. Wrong. Wrong. That's exactly what happened. Just not great. Not great. As for who is the most to blame or who kind of racked up the most unforced errors, miscues, boners, Sunday, well, I mean, you have to point the finger at the offense, don't you? I mean, I said on the season preview just a few days ago, yeah, look, we're all excited about the defense. That's great. But it's the Green Bay freaking Packers. They go as the offense goes. That is the way it's going to be. And while I also said on that episode that I expected a bit of a slow start, some bumbling and some stumbling, no, even I didn't think it would happen to the degree that it did in this one. No. No way. I mean, player mistakes. Right out of the gate. Christian Watson. Oh, good God almighty, Christian Watson. First play of the game for the offense. Aaron Rodgers uncorks an absolute beauty to Watson, who got behind the coverage and was wide open. Snatch that out of the air. It's a surefire touchdown, baby. Nope. Dropped. Dropsies. How does that happen? That pass couldn't have been any better if Rodgers had ran over and handed it to him. But he can't hang on. And I tell you, guys, if only we could have seen his hands as being an issue before the draft. Oh, wait, we did. His drop rate, I'll remind you again, at NDSU was 12.7%. Let me say that one again, because it's still unbelievable to me. 12.7%. The leader of the pack, as far as receivers who figured to go high in the draft in that category, not a category you want to be the leader in. I called him small school MVS. I said that when he was drafted. You know, I talked about all these issues with him on my pre-draft pods. Yeah, great height, weight, speed guy. Hands, questionable. That's kind of a, you know, when your job is, you know, when your job title has receiver in it, the receiving part is kind of crucial. Hands, an issue with him, you know? In fact, I had him as the number two wide receiver I didn't want Green Bay to draft behind only Drake London. So, of course, I didn't like the pick when it happened. I still don't. I'm not like, this isn't like, you know, I'm not changing my tune on this. I've been very consistent on this with Watson. Just, I don't feel great about that. I don't feel great about that pick. You know, and these people, I saw so much of this online after the drop and as the game was going after the game. So many people going, well, you know, if he catches that, they win. Okay, sure, maybe. But that's always going to be the issue with him. You know? Sadly, I don't think this is the only time this is going to happen. I just... You know what I mean? If they drafted a kid with great hands, and then he drops that pass, you go, oh, that was a bad drop, but I feel good about his hand. I feel like it's, you know, that was a fluky thing. I don't feel that way with Watson. That's not a fluke. I think this is who he is. Small school MVS. You know, I don't think he'll ever be a guy you can really trust. That's kind of a problem when you trade up to take him at the top of the second round, isn't it? I mean, make no mistake. When you trade up to take a guy at the top of round two, they're expecting him to eventually become a number one receiver, or at least a 1A receiver. How do you feel about the chances of that happening right now? Do you feel great about it? I don't. Not good. You want coaching miscues? Oh, I got you covered. In terms of play calling? Didn't like the decision to go for it on fourth and goal at the one in the second quarter. I know, I'm conservative, but I didn't like it. Look, you finally have some offensive momentum going. You're only down 7-0, right? You got a good drive. Take the points. Get on the board and build on that momentum. I'm old school. I'm always going to believe that. I don't care what all this newfangled math says. Newfangled, is that the right word? Well, whatever it is. You know what I mean. And then, if you are going to go for it, don't run the play they ran. Are you kidding me? A shotgun handoff? To a big back, A.J. Dillon, who needs a couple of yards to accelerate? Handing him the ball, a cold start like that? Maybe for Aaron Jones, but you can't do that for Dillon. I hated that call. I hated the decision. I think I hated the call even more. You know? If you're going to give the ball to Dillon, you'd be better off just going jumbo set there. You know? The old Madden jumbo goal line package. I hated everything about that. That was terrible. You looking for a lineup mistake? Look no further than Matt LaFleur going with the right side of Jake Hansen and Royce Newman on the offensive line. I was hoping before the game, I said as much on Twitter this morning if you follow me, I was hoping they'd make the right decision and go with Newman at right guard and rookie Zach Tom at right tackle once it became clear David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins would not play. Hoping for Yosh Nyman at left tackle. Now, they did do that. But they botched the right side, right? I was hoping for Newman and Tom. Nope, didn't happen. And we didn't even get out of the first freaking quarter before that lineup decision bit them in the ass, did we? Packers' second offensive possession. They start with fantastic field position at their own 46. Again, only down 7-0. Green Bay gets into Minnesota territory. Okay, finding our footing a little bit. Here we go. 3rd and 8 at the Minnesota 40. Rodgers sacked by, of course, Za'Darius Smith. Of course it was Za'Darius Smith. You know, he made the play on Dillon on the 4th down stop, too, at the goal line. Of course he had a big game. Why wouldn't he? You know, Z just dog-walked Hansen into the backfield. Then gets loose to bring Rodgers down. Total waste of field position. Total waste of good field position, I should say. Gone. Down the tubes. Look, Hansen is just not a starting caliber player. He isn't. Quit trying to make Jake Hansen happen, Matt. It's not going to happen. Did I just quote Mean Girls? I did. I'm in that kind of mood. You know? And then you saw once Tom came in after John Runyon left with an apparent concussion in the 3rd quarter, Tom immediately makes a positive impact, especially in the run game. That big run by Aaron Jones. And he's breaking through traffic off tackle, slashing, cutting for a huge gain of 29 yards into Minnesota territory. That was spurred on by a big block by Tom. And he had just gotten into the damn game. Did you notice they ran the ball better, more consistently? They were more efficient once he came in? You think that's an accident? It isn't. He should have started, and he should be the starter going forward at one of the 2 guard spots. God, why is it so hard for LaFleur to just play his best 5 offensive linemen? This was the San Francisco playoff debacle all over again on the O-line. It happened again in the very next game that counted. The very next meaningful game after San Francisco. He did it again. More play calling slash player mistakes. The offense with 2 shots to get 1 yard and keep their, albeit slim, hopes alive. Down 23-7 late in the game. They call 2 passes. What? 2 passes? You got to get 1 yard. And then Rodgers with the brutal hero ball decision to throw to Robert Tonyan in traffic in the end zone on fourth down. Oh, my God. Just brutal. Just get 1 yard, man. Live to fight another day. You know, live to fight another set of downs. Just get 1 yard. At least give yourself a chance. Speaking of Rodgers, who finished 22 of 34 for 195 yards, no touchdowns and one pick, 5.7 yards per attempt, a quarterback rating of 67.7. Woof. You know, he did a little more in the second half. But look, he's going to have to trust the kids and Sammy Watkins even more. The new guys. He's going to have to trust them even more. You know? Didn't really at all in the first half after the Watson drop and then the one route that when Romeo Doubs seemed to run the wrong route, there was that miscommunication. I think it was on a third down. Didn't go to him again in the first half really after that. And Watkins, I think, was like one time or twice. A little bit more of that in the second half, but he's going to have to do even more of that. This passing offense is not going to work if it's largely built around Randall Cobb, Tonyan, and passes to the running backs. It won't. I'm sorry. You know, I know those are the guys he trusts the most right now, but this offense isn't going to work. He's going to have to trust these kids and live with their mistakes. Even if they're big ones like the Watson drop, he's going to have to live with them and just hope that they get better. That's the only thing that they can do. Devontae's not walking through that door. I assure you of that. You know? Speaking of the running backs, hey, it might work if they handed the ball to the running backs a little more. Hey, there's a novel idea. How about that? Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon combining for 15 carries in this one. 15 carries for a game that never really got away from Green Bay until, you know, the waning moments. 15 freaking carries. By the way, Dillon, 10 carries, 45 yards. Jonesy, 5 for 49. So that's 15 carries for 94 yards. That's pretty good. Maybe try that a little more. And it was split right down the middle, too. The Jones and Dillon combined for 8 carries in the first half and then 7 in the second. That's compared to 15 first half pass attempts for Rodgers and 19 second half attempts. So no balance at all. None. No balance at all. Not good. But no, the offense was not alone in this one. They may have been the main culprit, my friends, but they were not the only one. Oh, we're going to do this now. As I sit here wearing my Jair Alexander jersey. Defensively, look, I don't give a shit what Greg Olsen, Joe Barry, or anybody on Twitter has to say about, oh, it's not so simple to just put Jair Alexander on Justin Jefferson because then everyone else is grimly, yada, yada, yada. No, you do it. You just do it. You know, look, if Barry wants to start the game in zone, fine, whatever. But it was clear by the end of that first Vikings drive that you had to put Jaw on Jefferson. You had to make that adjustment. You had to play that matchup. You just gave Jaw a 4-year, $84 million extension this offseason. Did everybody forget that? When you give a guy that kind of contract, that's a contract that says we think you are maybe the best corner in the game, which I think he is. I agree. Okay, then deploy him as such. You paid him for these types of damn matchups. Why? Even Jefferson seemed to expect it was coming. And it never really did. They just never really matched him up. Not with any consistency anyways. And it killed him. Jefferson piling up an absurd 158 yards and 2 scores on 6 first half grabs. That was where he did most of his damage. For the day as a whole, he finished with 9 for 184. Really good stuff. There. Hang on. So, you know, we got a glimpse of what that might have looked like in the third quarter of that matchup. Went on a 3rd and 4 at the Green Bay 28. Cousins passes to Jefferson. Complete. But it was an offensive pass interference on Jefferson. He interfered with Jaw to make the catch. Hey, Jaw got him to commit a penalty. Wow, it's almost like Jefferson struggled with him. Can you imagine that shit? That probably would have been the case most of the day, hey? Given Jaw's track record? I feel pretty confident in that, don't you? Maybe you could have won, hey? Maybe you feel a little better about how the day would have turned out? I do. So there's this... If you've ever read the book Boys Will Be Boys about the 90s Dallas Cowboys by Jeff Perlman, Excellent book. I can't recommend it enough. One of my favorite, not just football books, but sports books. I think it's in there anyways. I hope it is. Pretty sure. There's this moment with Dion where they're talking about how Dion, when he was with the Cowboys, was in a defensive meeting. And he was sitting in his chair and I think he had his back turned, if I remember correctly, to the rest of the meeting. And one of the coaches is like, Dion, are you going to grace us with your presence? Like, what do we do on this play here? And Dion turns around and like points over the board and goes, I can't remember who they were playing, but it was, he points to their best receiver and he goes, see that guy right there? I go where that guy goes. Y'all figure the rest of that shit out. That's what they should be doing with Ja. Ja is that level of player. Just say to Ja, who's the best guy? That's your guy. They're overthinking this to an insane degree. I don't get it. You know? Did you see the Matt Schneidman tweet? Matt Schneidman from The Athletic after the game? Guess what? Even Ja thought that was going to be the case. This is from Matt Schneidman now. Let me pull this up. He tweeted, Jair Alexander to me and at Rob Domofsky. Rob Domofsky, Packers beat guy for ESPN. Post game on coaches not having him shadow Justin Jefferson. Quote, all week I was asking for that matchup, but it ain't about me. It's about the team. It ain't about me. If it was my way, you know what I would be doing. So even Ja wanted it. He called for it. They still wouldn't let him do it. That's ridiculous. That's terrible. Oh my God. And not just Ja either, you know? The overall lack of man-to-man stuff with the corners in this one was a joke. You have the talent to do this. This is why you pay Ja and Rasul Douglas and you draft Eric Stokes in the first round. You do these things so you don't have to rely so much on zone coverage. You can go man-to-man. And yet they ran so much zone anyways. I don't get it. I wish I had an answer for you guys on that. I don't get it. Maybe Joe Barry will speak to the media at some point this upcoming week. We'll find out. Probably not. It'll probably give some bullshit reason. I don't get it. You know, overall, just was pretty disappointed by the defensive performance. Maybe this group spent a little too much time reading their press clippings. A little too much time seeing all of us fawn over them on Twitter, on social media. Hell, I don't know. You know, they had some nice moments, some nice stops. They occasionally rose up when it was needed. But just felt like they were pushed around far too often. They were not the more physical team consistently. You know, the pressure was good at times on Cousins, but really, really painfully lacking at others. That has to be fixed. That has to be much more consistent for this defense to be successful. You know, and it can't, Rashawn Gary had that nice sack. It can't all be Gary and Kenny. Other guys are going to have to step up. It can't all be Gary and, as great as they are, it can't all be Gary and Kenny Clark and Preston Smith. Other guys are going to have to contribute, you know. Hopefully Quay Walker's shoulder injury that caused him to leave the game isn't too serious either, because I'll tell you, Chris Barnes, that ankle injury, that for sure looked like a season ender, didn't it? Anytime they declare a guy out that fast, and they did within about, it felt like 10 minutes of his leaving the field on the cart, you kind of know. I would be shocked if his season isn't over. So if Walker's out for any extended amount of time, man, they become brutally thin at what seemed like an incredibly deep spot inside linebacker all of a sudden. That's how fast it happens in the NFL. Oh, so much fun, wasn't it? What a fun day. But hey, the special teams didn't totally stink, so there's that. Shout out to everyone on Twitter, by the way, who had to hit me with the, at least the special teams were okay. In the waning moments of the game, I appreciate that. Always look on the bright side of life, right, Packer fans? Oh my God. Okay, so those are my main thoughts. I did want to open the Twitter bag, the email bag, get your questions and takes on the game and kind of respond to them here. And you did not disappoint. I got a shite load of responses. So let's start with it. Now, my tweet said, when I said, hey, if anybody has any questions, comments, it said I got 7 replies, but for some reason I only see 5. So if you did send one, and I'm not reading it. It's because I don't see it. I just want to say that quick. Okay. First one comes from, my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers, Brew Crewer at @asummers_time. He asks, why did we pay Jair all the money if we weren't going to have him shadow the league's best? Play calling was effing atrocious. Yeah, I don't get it. Like I said, you pay him that kind of money for these matchups. For these heavyweight title fights against guys like Justin Jefferson. You know? You pay a guy like that kind of money, so in these spots, you can just glue him to Jefferson and go, all right, well, that's taken care of. What else do you got, Minnesota? And the Packers didn't do it. Even now, I'm like, what? The game ended, what, like 5 hours ago even? I'm like, what the shit was that? I don't get it, buddy. I don't. Doesn't make any sense. Hopefully they fix that. And by the way, I like Jair kind of calling out the coaches after the game. I know some people were like, not being a great teammate there. I love it. Hey, if these guys are too stupid to do the obvious, maybe him calling them out in the press will get them to wake up a little bit, because clearly they need to. Yeah. Yeah, I had zero issue with Ja doing that. All right, next one comes from Greg Kivett at Greg and GB. He writes, this was an Aaron Rodgers game plan more than Matt LaFleur. This offense needs structure, and every time they get punched in the mouth, they resort to hero ball, and it's driving me crazy. Is this Matt LaFleur's team or 12's? Oh, Greg, that's a loaded point. You put that one on a tee, huh? That's a loaded question. I think it's Aaron Rodgers running the version of Matt LaFleur's offense that he finds acceptable. How's that? Just as it was with McCarthy. It wasn't really McCarthy's offense. It was the acceptable version, the version of McCarthy's offense that Aaron Rodgers found acceptable. You know, because I can't, based off what we know about LaFleur and what we've seen in, you know, his time as coach, I can't imagine he's happy about the total lack of balance offensively, which happens far too often with this team. You know, and look, I get it. It's Aaron Rodgers. You know, I said on the preview, I said, look, it'd be great if they ran the ball a little more. They're never going to become like a UP high school football team as far as running the ball, because you got Aaron Rodgers, and that would be dumb to do that anyways. But what I mean, you know, but you have to have some balance, you know. 34 pass attempts from Rodgers to 15 runs from your two stud back. I mean, that's no balance. None at all. I don't even know what the math on that is. I suck at math. But that's not balanced at all. I can't imagine LaFleur's happy with that. In any way, shape, or form, no, I can't imagine he is. So my guess is, yeah, it's... I think it's Matt LaFleur's team, but as far as the offense, it's Aaron Rodgers running his version of Matt LaFleur's offense. Yeah, hope that makes sense. Next one comes from Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell, longtime friend of the show, going back to the Podbean days, one of the Podbean hardcores. Appreciate that, Justin. Thanks again. This was a much less surprising result than last year, especially because of the injuries and new receivers, plus a tough place to play. But that doesn't mean it wasn't concerning, because there is no clarity on when those issues will be resolved. Hell, I'm nervous about next week. Hell, I am too, Justin. I'm right there with you, homie. I am nervous as shit about next week. Because you do not want to start out 0-2 in the NFL. That is pretty close to a death sentence right there. You do not want that. That's a must win next week now. You bet your ass it is. Yeah, you're right. If it was last year was shocking, this was less shocking. It was less shocking, but not that much less. Because like I said a little while ago on the show, these guys, I read so many quotes. There was so much talk from these guys during camp about, man, it's not going to be like it was in Jacksonville. We're coming out of the gates hot. We're ready for this one. And that shit just didn't happen. You know, I don't know if it was a lack of playing in the preseason or what, but they just were not ready. Talk about ice cold piss. They were not ready at all. But yeah, you know, some of this stuff, you're right, is going to be a work in progress, especially the stuff with Rodgers and the receivers. You know, I said on the show, the hope is that this offense in particular is finding its footing by, you know, early, you know, by the time they get to London, sometime around there, you're hoping. But again, like I said, but then I also said earlier in the show, I didn't expect they'd come out of the gates this bad. I thought there'd be some stumbling, but holy shit. So yeah, thank you, Justin. Our next one comes from Super Charlos at Super Chufflunk. He writes, remember when Coach wanted the defense to dictate the flow of the game? What the offense did? So what happened? Okay, I gotta admit, I'm a little Super Charlos. I'm a little confused on this one. Are you saying you're saying that Coach LaFleur was saying he wanted the defense to dictate the flow of the game for not just the defense, but for the offense as well? Yeah, I remember when he said that. Yeah. What happened? Well, you know, I thought the defense, I mean, that first drive, they were terrible. They got cut up. They got carved up. And it just always kind of felt like they were trying to find their footing after that. You know what I mean? Again, like, they had some moments. They rose up at times. But they were still giving all those touchdown drives and field goals. They were all long drives. So they'd kind of find their footing, and then they'd slip. They just never got on solid ground. And then I think that did translate to the offense. So, you know, he wanted the defense to dictate the flow of the game. It kind of did, just not in a good way. All right. Thank you for that. Next one comes from Bill Amundsen at Omaha Badger. Bill writes in quite a bit. Appreciate that. That was fun. It's almost like they haven't played together before. Wait. Hopefully they can develop some cohesiveness. Otherwise, this will be a long season. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I didn't like the decision to basically sit all the guys in the preseason for the offense. This is, and I'm going to get to this in a little bit with Rodgers in one of these upcoming questions, but, you know, you got an entirely new group of receivers, or a largely new group, some new pieces, you know, new pieces at that position. I just felt like it was important for them to get some snaps in some of these preseason games. I know LaFleur doesn't want to play these guys. He wants to, you know, wrap them all in bubble wrap and keep them safe, which I understand that approach too most of the time. But this year, I thought they should have played some snaps in the preseason. There's nothing like game action. You hear announcers say this all the time in the there's nothing like game action to get you ready for the regular season. You know, those practices they did with the Saints, the practices that they were doing on their own, none of that is the same. So I would have liked to have seen some preseason work from them. Would it have made any difference? Maybe not, but maybe it would have. You know? Some teams played their starters for a little bit in the preseason. Looked like those teams were the most prepared offensively in week one, didn't it? If you looked around the league. So yeah, I think they will. I will say that, Bill. I think they will develop some cohesiveness. There we go. Like I said, it's a long season, you know? And I really think that as, you know, we get into like the next month, within a month from now, they'll find their footing. Now, if we get to like post-London in mid-October, the Jets game I'm going to on October 16th, if by that point it still isn't happening, it's probably time to panic and wonder about where the season's going. But they'll get there. I believe they'll get there. Yes. All right. Thank you for that, Bill. And we move to the email bag now. Got three here. So let's go from... Okay, let's start with one of the Kyles. Now, quick apology to the Kyles. Because I said on the season preview the other night that I had heard from them a little bit. I'm an idiot, and I didn't check my email right before I started recording because it was late. They had both emailed me before I started recording. Like, as I was recording, I think the Kyles emailed me. That's how in sync the Kyles and I are. They knew, and they emailed me, and I dropped the ball. I Christian Watson'd that one, and I apologize to them. Because you know I love the Kyles. I love you guys. So this one comes from Kyle, who refuses to get Twitter. He writes, if you read the other Kyle's email first, then thanks, Kyle. I'll take it over here at the weather desk. Actually, I'm reading yours first. He writes, I don't know who is to blame for this shameful performance. Or is this another everyone is to blame? Weren't prepared again, and once again, no answer for Jefferson. Why did we not have Alexander covering him? Are you sensing a theme here? Why won't the injury bug just leave us the fuck alone? Defense does not look championship caliber. Patrick O'Line was atrocious. Mr. Stonehands, what else could possibly go wrong? If you read this before Other Kyle, then I throw it over to Other Kyle for his take, and let's dazzle them with our Packers takes, Kyle. You know what? We're back. The Packers are laying an egg in the season opener, and the Kyles are back connecting with each other via email through me. We're back, baby. Football's back. Okay, so some of this I talked about already. Like, yeah, like I said initially, everyone's to blame for this. Other than special teams, everybody sucked today. Other than maybe, you know, Dylan and Jones, I thought were okay, but they didn't get enough touches. I thought most of the team was just not very good. You know, like Tom was good. Some of the offensive line stuff, but overall not great. Yeah, it's the Jefferson thing is becoming an issue, isn't it? Because this isn't the first time he's torched Green Bay. This isn't the first time in the last 12 months he's torched Green Bay. So that's fun. I think it's so frustrating today because they had, last time they didn't have job, but today they had jobs. Like, all right, we got our Jefferson stopper. Maybe not stopper, but slower downer. So to speak. Didn't use it enough. It's frustrating. Still driving me nuts. I keep going back to it. I'm wearing my jaw jersey. It's driving me goddamn nuts. Yeah, the injury bug thing. Not great, hey? Not great that they're getting hit this hard in week one. Barnes had a really nice training camp. He looked good in the preseason games. Felt really good with him in that backup role. You know, when Quay got hurt, I was like, all right, well, Barnes played well. Okay, we're okay. And then he got hurt. So, Quay, hopefully, get well soon, Quay, for sure. Yeah, the defense, yeah, I talked about that. You know, had some moments, but not consistent enough. The Patrick O-line, that they're going to be okay there. Because I think Bakhtiari, Jesus Christ. At this point, I don't think we can. I said this to somebody on Twitter this morning. Don't assume David Bakhtiari is going to play again for the Packers until he's on the field again playing for the Packers. But Jenkins, I do think, will be back sometime. I don't know about the Bears game. But I do think sometime by, say, like, week, by that, what, the Pats game the week after? Is it the Pats the week after? Ugh, I don't even know. My mind is like a total blank right now. Hold on. I'm sure this dead air. Hold on. So I don't know if Jenkins will be ready next week. Hopefully he's ready by the time they get to Tampa in week three. If not, I certainly think by the Patriots game on October 2nd, I think Jenkins will be back. But the hope for this offensive line going forward, if Bakhtiari gets healthy, if and when that happens, the offensive line, once everybody's available, and I said this on Twitter, should be left to right, Bakhtiari, John Runyon, Josh Myers, Zach Tom, Elgton Jenkins, period. That should be the offensive line. That, frankly, needs to be the offensive line. That's your best five guys, and that group will give you the best chance of success. Absolutely. So thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. Pause. Before we get to the other Kyle, we have one from Rich. I don't know if Rich wants me to say his last name, so we'll just call him Rich. Got to keep it real. Rich writes, I don't get it. Wide open. Yes, he dropped it. It was his first NFL play. Scripted even. No excuse. But they never went back to it. That route would have been there all day. When nobody can get open, the best way to fix that is go vertical. I don't get it. Sigh, sorry to vent. No, Rich, I appreciate it. His email was headed to Watson, by the way. So, of course, he's talking about Christian Watson. Yeah, you're right. It's funny because I just ripped the shit out of him to kind of start the real meat of the podcast here, but I agree that I actually wouldn't have minded it wouldn't have bothered me if they'd gone back to that. Yeah. You know? Cause I just tweeted at Aaron Nagler from Chiefs TV last night. He was saying, I think I could see Watson playing and getting a bunch of touches and being inactive. He's in kind of a weird space. And I said, for me, I feel like he's right in the middle. I'm right in the middle on that take, I should say. I go, I think he'll get a couple of end-around, jet sweep-type plays, and they'll go deep to him a couple times. And they did run the one, they ran that one end-around for him, and the one deep shot, so I was kind of right. But I would have liked to have seen them try that maybe once or twice more. Sure. Yeah, even though I don't trust his hands and I don't like the pick, sounds like I'm going back and everything. I still believe all that, but yeah, I wouldn't have mind. You're right, the offense was in a serious funk. For a long stretch, why not try it? Sure. So, yeah, I agree, you know. It might have worked. Who knows? Our final email comes from the other Kyle. Kyle, who had Twitter. He informs me he had Twitter got rid of it, then got it again. Now he's gotten rid of it again because it's a dumpster fire. Okay, Kyle writes, hashtag fire capers. For all the resources that have gone into the defensive side of the ball, they sure look soft as hell today. Shout out to AJ Dillon for being the only one of 53 to give a damn today. Easily my favorite Packer. Offensive line coaching malpractice. Again, I know having both tackles not playing is not ideal, but still. They made the same mistakes today they made back in January. Lots more to say, but nothing positive. My question is this. What do you think of Aaron Rodgers as a leader? It seems to always come up that he might be a poor leader, but it's always brushed off as much ado about nothing. He's a captain who says he's not a rah-rah guy, but rather leads by example. But the body language, passive aggressiveness, overall looking annoyed slash disinterested, always makes me feel like he can't rally a team like some of the other QBs in the league. At least today, it looked like this team desperately needed a leader or two. Go Pack, go. Well, let's see. I talked to unpack here, which I always appreciate. Yeah, the defense did look soft at times. Like I said, they got pushed around far too often. And you're right about Dillon, man. He gives a shit. You never have to worry about A.J. Dillon giving a shit. He's a real easy guy to love, an easy guy to root for. Absolutely. He cared. Coaching offensive line stuff, talked about that. Yep. Exactly like the San Francisco game. They botched it on which five to play, and it cost them. Your question about Rodgers, okay, so this is an interesting one. What do I think of him as a leader? He's not always the type of leader I would prefer for this football team. I'll say that. Yeah. You know, in the first half, I mean, the game was still young. And he's over on the sidelines. The Fox cameras caught him angrily gesturing and pointing and looking sour, talking to Tom Clements. I was like, we're doing this already, Aaron? And there was one point near the end of the first half after he threw that pick, which was a terrible Farvian-type decision. He was yelling and screaming at someone. I don't know who that was, but yeah, just, he looked, it was kind of like the Saints game last year. Just like, he just looked sour at the start and it never looked like he sweetened in any way. Like he just had something stuck in his craw the whole day. Definitely. And that's the case a lot of times with Rodgers, especially when things don't go well. I don't always like that. No, I'll be honest. He leads by example. Here's the thing with Rodgers. He leads by example. He expects you to run. He expects everybody to run with him. That's not always possible. You know, there was that one clip NFL Films caught, was it last year or 2 years ago, before a game? Can't remember even who they were playing. It was at Lambeau. And they get done with the anthem, and he's hugging Adams. And he goes, I love you. And Adams goes, I love you too. And Rodgers goes, run with me today, okay? And Adams is like, I got you. I think that's what Rodgers expects. He expects everybody to run with him. Which is easy when you're dealing with guys like Jordy Nelson and, you know, Jennings and Devontae and prime Randall Cobb. Sure, those guys can run with you. But these kids, they're not going to be able to run with you. There's a little more hand-holding that goes into that. And Rodgers has seemed not great in that department so far. He may have to work on that a little bit, you know? You know, kind of bring these kids along. They're not going to run at your level right away. You want to lead by example, but they can't get to your, you know, they can't get to the example you're setting. Didn't like that, you know, and I said I was going to talk about this. Look, I don't know how much difference it would have made, but his decision to basically punt OTAs and minicamps, again, when working with an entirely, almost entirely new receiver group, didn't like that. You know, he showed up for the one mandatory minicamp. But the rest of the time, he wasn't there. Again, does that make any difference? Who knows? But I would have liked to see him there. Yes. Yeah. That, to me, is something I think a leader should do. Should say, you know what? I've got to get to Green Bay. I got to get on the ground in Green Bay and work with these kids and start that process. I know some people aren't going to like this. But look, that's what Tom Brady would do. Tom Brady would have been in Green Bay working with these guys. Trying to get acclimated with these kids. Rodgers was like, we'll get to it in camp. And then you saw what happened in camp. The kids got off to a sluggish start, and Rodgers is sitting there bitching to the media about it, and, we had a meeting, and it sounded like they kind of, you know, read these kids the riot act, and I'm going, maybe if you'd gone to some of the fucking mini camps, this might have made a difference. So, I hope that answer, I don't really always like his leadership. No, it's to me, it's lacking at times. You're right, and the body language shit is really bad, and he is passive-aggressive. And, you know, again, today, yeah, again, he just looked, you're right, he looked overall annoyed and disinterested today. It just, yeah, you know, sometimes I'd like to see him be more of a rah-rah guy. I know that's not easy for someone at his point in his career, the point in his career that he's at, there we go, to change, but it would, Rodgers, you know, it's a different set of circumstances this year. It requires a kind of different type of leadership. So far, I haven't really seen him adapt. And I do wonder if that's not a part of this sluggish start for the offense. Definitely. So, yeah, I agree with you, Kyle. Thank you for the email. The Kyle's coming together. You love it. You love to see it. Okay. That's thank you to everybody who wrote in. You know I always appreciate it. Big picture time now, just about 45 minutes in. I've been trying to be economical with these, but, you know, when you lose your season opener to the Vikings, that shit kind of goes out the window, eh? Oh my God, what's going on here on my computer? Hold on. All right, big picture time now, 45 and a half minutes in. The Green Bay Packers entered Sunday's tilt as one of the favorites in the NFC to advance to the Super Bowl in Arizona. And even after this stinker against the Vikings, that has not changed. They still figure to have a very good, perhaps even excellent, season. Now is not the time to panic. But if you still had those lingering, nagging doubts about the Packers following yet another playoff meltdown last January, they couldn't respond when a more physical team punches them in the face. They don't know how to fully maximize their lineups, for just a couple of examples. Well, Sunday did nothing to erase those concerns from your mind. It's not an issue of talent. No. It's almost never been an issue of talent for these Packers. It's the little things. Playing the wrong O-line combo. A drop here, a poor play call there, that tend to add up to big defeats for Green Bay. It was on full display Sunday in Minneapolis, and unless the Packers can begin to fix these issues and tighten up the little things, those will likely be the reason yet another season gets filed under the category of good, but not great, and certainly not super. Okay, that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I hope you had, well, I don't know if I'd call it fun, but I hope you at least feel a little better about things after this. I know I do. For no other reason than I get to yell about it. I get to come on here for a little while, yell, and just kind of purge all this shit out of my system. So that helps. The Packers will be back in action next Sunday night. Oh, whoopee. A Sunday night game now. You know I love those. As they host the Chicago Bears in their home opener at Lambeau Field. That one will be on NBC's Sunday Night Football. They better not lay a turd at home on NBC. I swear to God, if you think I was mad tonight, you have no idea how pissed off I'm going to be next time if that happens. That one is set for a 7:20 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff. And of course, I'll be back next Sunday night, late as F, to break that one down, win, lose, or draw. It'll be Monday morning before you hear it. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one. And yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.